John chapter 4. We're going to be looking tonight at this section here. In John chapter 4, Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And as we look at the methods of evangelism, you know, you can know all the right things, but if you don't know how to put it into practice, it doesn't do you any good. Or if you don't put it into practice, it doesn't do anybody else any good either. For example, you could have all the ingredients to bake a loaf of bread. You know, you need the flour, and you need a little bit of salt and a little bit of oil and some yeast and some water, and you put it all, you know, that's all your recipe. But if you never put that together and put it in the oven to bake it, you'll never have a loaf of bread. All you'll have is a dish of flour and other ingredients. We need to put it into practice. So the same is true with what we know about evangelism. All right, we've learned about the message of evangelism. Now we need to learn how to do it, how to put it together. And so in John chapter 4, Jesus was meeting the needs of the Samaritan woman. And I want us to see how he dealt with that. In John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 3, it says, "And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." All right, so he was in Judea. Judea, where was Judea in Israel? Down in the south. Galilee was in the north. All right? So he left Judea and he headed north to Galilee. And as he headed north to Galilee, it says in verse 4, "And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, was that always necessary? No. Most of the Jews would cross the Jordan River, walk over on the other side of the Jordan River until they got up to Galilee and cross the Jordan River again and come back into Galilee, because they didn't want to go through Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. But Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. That's an important key. Verse 5, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria that is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour," that's about noon. "And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. And for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat or food. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." Now let's stop there and think about that. Jesus was laying the foundation. He was opening the door for a witnessing opportunity. Very good things we can learn here as we look at this. We're going to cover three different methods of evangelism. The first one is the basic one. The first one is the foundational one. The first one is the most important one. And so, as you think about these, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that, the first one is called the conversational method. The conversational method. Now, this is the basic one, because the things we cover in the conversational method, you'll use in the other methods as well. But the conversational method. Now, by praying, and we need to be praying and looking for witnessing opportunities. What did Jesus do here? It says in verse 4, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why did Jesus go through Samaria? Because he said, "I've got a mission to accomplish in Samaria. There's a reason I got to go through Samaria. There's a woman I've got to talk to." Jesus knew that because he was God, but he made plans. He purposed to go through Samaria. Very important for us to remember that. Jesus chose that on purpose. Now, we need to every day, this is so important. You know, every one of us, if we will do this, it'll help us. I guarantee God will help you. You need to be praying for opportunities to witness and looking for opportunities to witness. If you will pray for them and look for them, you will find them. So that means that tomorrow morning, when you wake up get out of bed, you need to pray and say, "God, would you please help me to find somebody that I could share the gospel with today?" And then keep your eyes wide open, looking for opportunities all through the day. And we need to do that on a regular basis. And some of you don't do that because you're afraid that if you did that it might happen. And then you say, "I don't know what to say." Don't do that. That's why we're learning this. All right? You can do it. You can do it. Even if it's just passing out a tract or giving a witness for the Lord in that way. But we need to pray for and look for opportunities to be a witness for the Lord. Now, as we think about praying, Paul, in 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." In Ephesians 6, 19, again, Paul wrote, "And pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel." Now, if Paul needed prayer to be a bold witness, so do I, so do you. We need to pray. We cannot underestimate the importance of prayer. As I mentioned this morning, God is doing a work in my heart. And in one of these days, I'm going to explode and share with you all that's going on in my heart about our need for walking closer to God and having an abiding relationship with the Lord. And we are absolutely dependent on the Lord. John chapter 15, verse number, I forget exactly which verse, but one of the verses in John chapter 15, the early part, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Now, he wasn't talking about I can't tie my shoes and brush my teeth. He's talking about I can't do anything that will have a supernatural result. And that's what we want. Is reaching people for Christ a natural or supernatural thing? It's a supernatural thing. I mean, you can't do it. I can't do it. We can't. You can't just go over to your neighbor and say, "All right, neighbor, listen, sit down for 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you something. You know, you're a sinner. You're going to go to hell. Jesus died for you. You need to repent. You need to get saved." And he'll probably tell you, "Go home. I don't want to hear this." See, we can't do it, but God can through us. And so we must pray. We've got to have God's power. We've got to. So pray is vital. We need to pray and then look for those opportunities. You know, it might be a salesman. It might be a delivery person that comes to your door. It might be a neighbor, a friend, or a person who's waiting in a queue with you. You can just bring up a conversation. You know, when I'm standing in the queue with somebody, I'm always looking for opportunities to say something. Sometimes people just don't want to talk about anything. But you're looking for opportunities to say something. You know, you say, "Yeah, beautiful day outside, isn't it today?" Well, that didn't work. What else can I say? You know, you try something and try to spark up a conversation with somebody. And sometimes people will talk to you. Sometimes they just grunt or ignore you. But you're looking for those opportunities. Try to open up something. Maybe it's the bank teller. You know, because I go to the bank every week with the church money, I get to know the girls at the bank, and I try to be a testimony to them. And I've witnessed to them, and I give them tracts, and, you know, they all know me. And they all, "Oh, yeah, we've gotten one of those before. You know, there's one around here somewhere." You know, but at least we keep trying. And every once in a while, you'll find somebody to listen. Maybe it's someone at a social event you're going to. But you're looking for opportunities, and you're praying, "God, show me someone I can share the gospel with today." Remember, I think it was a couple weeks ago, or maybe one that I gave an illustration about D.L. Moody, of how he went through the day, and the end of the day, it was real dark, real late at night, but he's headed home, and he got to thinking over his day, and he thought, "What a wasted day. I haven't told anybody about Jesus." Did I tell you that story? Yeah, I thought I did. Yeah. And then he found that guy and told him, and then the guy later came to Christ. You know, that ought to be the burden of our heart. Every day, we need to be looking for those opportunities. But then we need to try to open up conversations. And it's important that we seek for genuine conversations, not just put on things. You know, we've got to have genuine. Jesus, when he asked this woman, he says, "Would you please give me a drink?" I mean, that was a genuine thing to ask. Jesus didn't say to her, "What are you coming to the well for this time of day, woman?" That wasn't the time that nice women came to the well. Because the normal time was in the afternoon or in the morning when they were coming to water their sheep and all that kind of stuff. But the ones that were not such nice people would come when nobody else was around. Jesus could have done that, but that wouldn't have helped the conversation. But he came up with a genuine thing. He says, "Could I have a drink, please?" And that opened it up. And she said, "What are you asking me for a drink for? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You know Samaritans, your Jews don't like Samaritans." And then Jesus, it opened up the whole conversation. And then Jesus was able to say, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink of living water." Whoa, the conversation just exploded now. She's got interest now. What's this guy talking about? You know, let's talk some more about this. See, he opened it up. A genuine conversation. You know, we can do that by asking questions, but they need to be sincere questions. You know, I'm always trying to figure out questions to ask people to open the door. And you need to be doing the same thing. Sometimes I'll say, you know, you're waiting in the queue and it's not going very fast. And you say, how long you been waiting? Oh, you know, I don't know, 10 minutes, you know, or whatever. And at least you've got them talking now. You can try to get the conversation going a little bit, ask them a couple other things, and then maybe just pull out a track and say, you know, by the way, I go to the Baptist Church, Northside Baptist Church in Quinn's Rocks. Here's a little paper from our church. Would you mind having a read of it? Just something. Open up. But looking for conversation openers. Maybe you say, do you think we're going to get any rain today? Or you know, maybe you're at somebody's house and you say, you know, what did you do to your garden to make it so lush? You know? But see, it needs to be sincere questions. It can't be just put-on questions. It can't be just dumb questions. Think through things before you ask. Especially, you know, I have found that, I remember one time several years ago, there was some guy, I went, knocked on his door, and he didn't want what I wanted anything to do with the gospel, and he was sending me away. But he had something in his yard, and I don't even remember what it was now, but it was something I was sincerely interested in. And I said, by the way, this has nothing to do with what I was talking about, but I got a question. What about this thing in your yard? Where did you get to? How? And I talked to him, and oh, he wanted to talk about that. And we stood there and talked for probably 10 minutes. And by the end of the conversation, he says, oh, you still got that paper, I guess I'll take it. You know, I hadn't done anything but just be friendly. But he just wanted to see that there was a genuine, I was sincere. And that's happened to me more than once, where people have listened to me when they didn't want to listen to me, but I talked to them about something genuine. But I wasn't just being foolish. I wasn't just complimenting him on silly things. It was something I genuinely was interested in. So people they like to tell you about something that they have or do or something that they are that they like to talk about. So if you can get on subjects like that, it'll help you. All right? Things that you have in common. But as I said, it needs to be genuine. You can't be put on. You know, when somebody comes to your door and, you know, it's a cult or something, and they say, well, you got pretty flowers, and I only got one, and it's a scabby one. I'm thinking, you don't have very good eyes. You know, that thing's a scabby-looking flower. All you're trying to do is get a, you know, open up a conversation, and I'm not interested. You know, it needs to be genuine, all right? And sometimes you can't think of anything. You look at the place, and it's a mess, and you think, what can I say here that's complimentary? I better keep my mouth shut. Yeah. Nice trail to your door here. Thank you. But, you know, you just look for opportunities. Sometimes it just isn't, but you just got to be constantly looking. All right? Now, here's the hardest part. All right? You've talked to them. You're talking about the weather. You're talking about the kids. You're talking about something. They're chit-chatting about stuff. The hardest part of all that we're talking about here tonight is the next step. Turning the subject to spiritual things. You've been talking about stuff that they're not scared of. And as soon as you mention God, it's like, that's a subject we don't talk about around here. All right? And, you know, it's a hard one. It is hard to get that transition. How do we make the transition? And so you've got to work at that. And one of the biggest things that I've already mentioned, you need to pray. Pray. I mean, there's been more than once. In fact, many times I'm talking to somebody. We're talking about something they're interested in. I've got a good conversation going, and in the back of my mind, I'm trying to keep a conversation going with them, and I'm praying, God, please, help me to figure out how to turn this around. And you know, Melody and I have both come to the same conclusion. Sometimes the only way to turn it around is to just turn it around. You just got to bluntly say, by the way, you know, let me ask you a question. Or, have you thought about this? And, you know, asking some pointed questions. You know, maybe you're talking to somebody and they're worried about, they've got this problem, they got this, something's going wrong. And you can say, listen, one of the things that's been a help to me when I've been troubled is a Bible verse that says that if I cast all my care on God, He cares for me. Have you ever thought about that? That could be a help to you. See, you're talking to them, they're telling you about all the troubles, and you can turn it around with something like that. Just give them a little testimony and share, even if you can't remember the verse, they're not necessarily worried about 1 Peter 5:7, but if you can at least say, you know, if I cast my burden on the Lord, He'll give me peace. And so you can ask Him that. Another thing you can do is maybe you're talking to somebody that needs a job, or he's got some other major problems. One of the things that I've done that has helped, and again, you need to be sincere, but say, listen, I would be happy to pray for you. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? And there's been a time or two when I've just said, you know, we've had a long enough conversation where I've been able to say, would you mind if I prayed with you right now? And usually they go, no. But sometimes they'll say yes. Other times they say, well, I don't think so. But at least you've got the door open now. That's another way of getting the door open. Sometimes I'll just ask them something like this. I'll say, you know, I've been thinking lately a lot about heaven. Do you know for positive if you died, you'd go to heaven? I don't know. I'm not giving much thought. All right? But you got the door open now. Once you've got the topic of spiritual things open, then you can jump in and talk some more about it. But you got to get that door open, and that's a hard one. Many times, I'll just say, you know, I've knocked on their door maybe and they've taken the track, but they don't really seem to be very interested, but they're maybe a little bit interested. And I'll say, do you go to church anywhere? No, I don't want to go to church. Sometimes if they say, no, I don't go to church, usually that's an indication they've never been to church. So then I'll say, do you mean you've never ever been to church? Oh, once when there was a wedding or something like that. All right, so then you've established they don't know anything about God. They're just, and then I'll usually say, well, if you haven't been to church, do you believe in God? Well, usually if they've never been to church, their answer usually is, no, I don't believe in God either. Sometimes they might say, well, there might be something out there, but I'm not sure where He is and what it is, and, you know, I don't know, and I'm not really worried about it. But at least you've got the door open, and then you can try to build on that. Sometimes they won't let you, but you can try. But asking questions, ask if they go to church, ask if where they think they've come from. Sometimes people will respond to that. You know, where do you think we all have come from? You know, you got all these beautiful plants. Where do you think that all came from? Oh, it just happened. Or they might say, oh, evolution. Say, have you ever thought about that? I mean, does that really make any sense? That we all just came from the slime on the pond and it all evolved into what we are today? Well, that makes good sense. Scientists believe it. I said, well, what about your car? Did that just happen? You know, you just went to the junkyard and somebody just went poof and there's your car out of all the junk? Did that just happen? No, of course not. Well, your body's a lot more complicated than your car. How can you think that your body just came from slime on the pond developing over, you know, and depending on how well they know their evolution stuff, they might say, well, you know, if you give it long enough, you know, you have a hard time getting past it all to give it enough time. But ask them questions. Ask them if they believe in God. Ask them if they've... Here's another one I've used quite a bit. Do you ever think about spiritual things? You ever thought much about spiritual things? That's a good question to open up. It's not too offensive. Their spiritual things may be seances or something, but, you know, I mean, have you ever thought about spiritual things? And then you got the topic open. So the hardest... In all honesty, of all the things that I do when I'm witnessing, the hardest part is the transition. And I think that's why... When I go knocking on doors, I find the knocking on doors is probably the easiest place to witness for the Lord of all the opportunities. Probably the easiest because I know the moment I knock on their door, that's why I'm there. And they're wondering why I'm there. So I'm knocking on their door. I know why I'm there. They're wondering why am I knocking their door. And as soon as I tell them, I've got the door open. And then I can talk to them or they'll shut me down. One of the two. But I don't have to find a way to get it over on spiritual things because I've already told them I'm here with this. This is my track I'm handing out. I'm talking from the Northside Baptist Church. So you kind of bypass this really hard step. But when you're talking to somebody in the store or you're talking to a friend or you're at a social gathering and you're trying to get the gospel around or you're talking to a relative, the relatives are the hardest of all to try to talk to. But you're trying to talk to somebody, trying to get the subject over on that is very difficult sometimes. So look for questions, pray, but keep looking for opportunities. All right? Then we need to explain the gospel to them. And tonight we've already talked about, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but we talked about those five things that really are the core of the gospel. They need to understand they're a sinner. They need to understand that sin brings judgment. They need to understand that Jesus is the solution. They need to understand they need to repent of their sin, turning to God, for their salvation and believe on Christ. All right? So that's the five core things that they need. And folks, please, if you're going to be a witness for the Lord and you need to be a witness for the Lord, you need to know at least one Bible verse for each of those five. You've got to do it. Just write them down, look up a verse, write it down on a card, determine with God's help you're going to memorize five verses, and most of you know verses that you just got to remember which one goes with it. Put them on there, learn them, so you at least have some five basic things so you can explain the gospel. You got to do it. It's part of our job. We need to know that. So that'll be a great help to you if you'll do that. But then desperately depend upon the Holy Spirit. And as you go through the gospel, observe how they're responding. Observe how the person is responding. Are they listening intently? Or are they fidgeting and wondering, you know, how can I get rid of this guy? You know, he's driving me crazy. What can I say to get rid of him? You know, some people are too polite to just tell you to leave. And so they're standing there listening, but you know very well they're not wanting you there. They're just trying to think of anything and everything. But if they're listening intently, and they're looking at your little paper you've given to them, and listening, and maybe even asking questions. That doesn't happen too often, but if they're asking questions, then you know they're interested. You need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God working in their heart. Is God getting a hold of them? Is this message getting in? Is it bringing conviction to their heart? Are they seeing the light? Is the light turning on? And as you work and talk with them, this is not going to be part of a two-minute conversation. Now your conversation has developed into a longer conversation, and you're able to go through the gospel with them and explain the gospel to them. And you can see that they're starting to see the light. They're starting to see that they are a sinner and that Jesus, they are headed for hell, and Jesus is their solution, and that they need to repent and they need to put their faith in Christ. They're seeing that, and they're starting then, usually by that point, they'll start asking some questions. And you need to be observing and watching so that you can see whether to pursue and how far to go with this, because you don't want to pick green fruit. All right, now what do I mean by that? Right. I mean a person that just understands a little bit of it but is not convicted and he's not ready to be saved. But, you know, what do I got to do to say, you know, to get this guy to leave? And he wants me to pray this little prayer, and he says that if I pray this little prayer, I'll go to heaven. And so, yeah, well, hurry up, tell me this prayer so I can pray this prayer and you can go home. Well, that's not what you want. That's picking green fruit. We don't want that. That's going to be disastrous. Now, why is it? Let me ask you a very important question. Why? You know, you understand what I'm talking about by green fruit. Right? A person that's not convicted, not truly ready to be saved, but they know the facts, and you just push them through a little prayer just so you can say, I led them to Christ. That's picking green fruit. We don't want to do that. There's a fine line there, and we'll talk a little bit more in a moment. Why don't we want to do that? Why is that harmful? Because it's just like a vaccination. You've given them enough of the gospel so they can say, been there, done that, didn't work for me, I don't want it anymore. And the next time somebody comes and says, let me share the gospel with you, I've tried that, didn't work for me, go away. We don't want that. If you leave them so that they still know that they're lost, but they're thinking about it, at least you haven't given them any kind of an inoculation. They still know that they're lost, they still know they need a Savior, but they haven't been convicted to the point where they're ready to trust Christ. Now that's a fine line. And there'd be some, that probably many, that would disagree with what I'm saying here. They would say, no, you need to urge them to trust Christ, and because that's the most important thing in the whole world. It is the most important thing in the whole world, but we want to make sure they're sincere, because God knows their heart. If we just push them through a decision, you know, you can talk to children. Children are very vulnerable. You can talk to children. You can tell them anything and say, all right, you believe it? Yeah, I believe that. You told me, so I believe it. And you, well, yep, you believe it? Yep, I believe that too. All right, and pray this little prayer. Okay, what do I say? And you tell them, and they say it. Oh, yeah. You can lead them through anything, but that doesn't necessarily mean they got saved. Because we need to make sure the Spirit of God is working in their hearts. And so that fine line there is very, very... It's a frightening part, really. Because I don't want to hold back if they are ready to be saved, but I don't want to push them forward if they're not ready to be saved. And so we need to desperately be praying in our heart, God, please give me wisdom. Are they ready? Do they understand? Do they know what they're doing? Are they really convicted? Are you working in their heart? Do they need to? Are they ready to trust you? And if they are, then lead them to salvation. Now, though I have at times, not very often, but at times, I have led people in a prayer to pray. I don't think now that it is the best option. And the reason I say that is because if the Spirit of God has truly convicted a person of their sin, the Spirit of God is going to work in their heart. You get a person that is truly knows they're lost and headed for hell, they're not going to say, well, I don't know if I want to pray or not. No, they're going to say, tell me what I got to do. I want to get this burden off of my shoulders. I'm burdened by my sin. I want to be saved. And they will pray and trust Christ if they're ready and burdened over their sin. But if you know, if you say, all right, pray after me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And you lead them through a little prayer like that. If they can't even formulate a prayer in their own mind, in their own words, to tell the Lord that they're a sinner, they need to be saved, they want Him to save them, that they believe on Christ, I'm not sure they're really ready to understand that. Now, there's probably been people that have been saved by repeating a prayer in a service or something like that. And I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying we need to be careful. We don't want to pick green fruit, but we do want to bring people to Christ. So there's that fine line. But don't be afraid to lead them to Christ if they are interested. Now, I've taken a long time on that first point. The next two are short ones. The first one we said was the conversational method. That covers the whole way to do it. Now, the next one is tracks. Tracks. And it uses the same method, but we deal with it differently. First of all, you need to be polite. All right, so you've got a track in your hand or your pocket or wherever, and you're waiting for this opportunity, and you're being friendly, you're being happy, you're being cheerful, and you try then to and it always helps, at least I found, and Mel's found the same thing, it is helpful to say something to them first. You know, like if I'm waiting in line at Bunnings and the girl waiting on me, there's nobody in line behind me, nobody around, and I've got a track ready, and I'll say, you know, how's your day been today? Oh, not too bad. I just started. You know, it's a pretty good day. And, you know, does it look like it's going to be a tough day? No, I don't know. But I've said something. It wasn't where I've never said a word to her. She says, your bill is, you know, $35, and I pay her the money. And I says, here's a paper. Would you read this? We haven't had any kind of conversation at all. So if at least I'm friendly, say, how's your day? Been busy today, how's it been? You've said something, broken the ice a little bit, been a little bit friendly, then you offer them a track. And when you offer the track, one of the first things I always do when I'm passing out tracks or when I'm knocking on doors, nothing in the Bible that says you need to do this, but I found it helps, is I say, this is a little paper from the Northside Baptist Church. That's the first thing that comes out of my mouth. Garrett will tell you that's the first thing I say when I knock on doors. There's a little paper. We're passing a little paper from the Northside Baptist Church. Why do I do that? Because they automatically think I'm a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. And I'm clearing that up right at the start. And there's been many people that as soon as I pull out my paper and I hand it to and I say, I'm from, they're like, and they start backing away, I'm from the Northside Baptist Church. Oh, Baptist Church. Oh, okay. You know what they were thinking. They're thinking, I'm not taking this thing from these guys because I know who they are. And as soon as I relieve that from them, it helps. So that's one of the first things I always do. Let them know. Sometimes I don't always include Northside Baptist, just because they don't know Northside from Joe's Baptist Church. I just say Baptist Church, they know what that is. And so I mentioned that. And so that helps. Nothing in the Bible says you have to do that, but I found that it helps. So then if they'll take it, and if I can get a conversation going with them, sometimes they'll just take the track, shut the door. Or they'll just take the track and walk off. Or they're working in the bank, I give them the track, and I say goodbye. I don't have any other opportunity. But if you have opportunity to build a conversation, then you move to the conversational method, pick up where you can and go from there. Okay? So that's why it works on that one. The last one is the door knocking, and that one overlaps what we just talked about. Very similar to passing out tracks, but I find the easiest way to witness. It really is. Even though there's going to be a lot of people that don't want it, it's the easiest way to witness. You knock on the door, walk up there, they come to the door. And by the way, when you knock on the door, don't trust the doorbells unless you can hear it. 90% of the doorbells don't work. All right. So I ring the doorbell. If I don't hear it, then I knock on the door. And I don't knock like this. I'm knocking. If you're going to knock on the door, might as well knock on the door. And I found that on the hinge side of the door, it's a solid side. The other side goes flop, 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 flop. It doesn't make. So I knock on the hinge side of the door, good and loud, and then they can hear. So when they come to the door, I say, I'm from the Northside Baptist Church and just passing a little paper here about heaven. Wonder if I could leave with you. Now they're going to give me one or two responses. Well, more than one. Sometimes they'll just shut the door and say nothing. That doesn't happen too often. Once in a while. Rarely they'll get mad at you. That's only rarely. Very rarely. Most of the time they'll say, no thanks, I'm not interested. Or, okay. And they reach out their hand, they take it, and then shut the door. Sometimes they'll take it and they'll look at it and say, where'd you say this is from? That's a cue to me. They've got a little bit of interest. And then I try to work into the conversational method. Okay? They've opened the door for me. They give me a second to talk to them because they've looked at the track or they've showed some interest or something. Then I'll say, you know, do you go anywhere to church? Oh, I used to. All right? And, you know, where did you go? And then they tell me, and if I recognize it, if it's charismatic, then I kind of know what kind of background. If there was Catholic, I kind of know what kind of background. So it gives me an idea of which way to steer my conversation. And then if they say, no, I don't go to church, never go to church, then I'll say, well, do you believe in God? Yeah, no, not really. Well, then you got to work around it. Then maybe I'll try the evolution idea. You know, but if they're still open, but a lot of times by then, if they're really not interested, they just shut the door on me. Right. But it's really, in all honesty, knocking on doors is the easiest way to witness. It really is. It really is because you know why you're going and they know why you're coming. All right? And so then, I always identify who I am first before I try to make a conversation with them. Okay? I don't go up to the door and say, hi, good afternoon. Boy, you got a beautiful yard out here. This is wonderful. You know, I don't do that because they're saying, come on, spit it out. What are you here for? You're not here to compliment my flowers. What are you here for? I know you're here for something. Right. So I tell them up front why I'm there. And then once we've got a conversation going, if I can talk about their flowers or their new car or whatever it is in their yard that's interesting, then fine. But if I can't, then... And then you go through questions. Again, you're always looking for questions to bring up the gospel, work it in. But if you're knocking on their door, they already know why you're there. So you've got that opened up. So that's the easy part. That's the hard part is all done for you. Now it's just a matter of trying to share the gospel with them. And then be sensitive. Sometimes they will say, I'm not interested. And I don't argue with them. I just say, thank you for your time. And I leave. Now, I know I've been with some people that have said, well, yeah, but won't you read this? I'm not interested. But it's just, I'm not interested. You know, all you've done is got them upset. That hasn't accomplished anything. All right? And if they are talking with you and they say, hey, listen, I got to go. Oh, can you talk just because I've got to go. You know, I smell the food burning on the stove. I got to go. Well, just say, that's not nice. If they say they got to go, let them go. You've given them the track. Let them go. You say, but they need the gospel. Yeah, they do. But if you make them upset and mad, the next time you knock on the door, they're going to say, go away. I don't want to know you. So we don't want to offend them in trying to do what they need. So those are some basic things. Now, as we finish it up here, let me mention four other ways that you can be a witness for the Lord that are different than these. Four other ways. Okay? Number one, invite people to church. All right? Real basic. That's just inviting them to church. That's one way, because you know they're going to hear the gospel if they come. But invite them to church. Number two is include a track in payment envelopes. Or, you know, when you're writing to somebody or, you know, that kind of stuff. Put a track in there with it. That's another way of being a witness for the Lord. Number three is to place our church website on social media. You know, I'm not on Facebook and all that kind of stuff, but if you are, then I know that there's ways you can put links on there to our church website. That's another way of getting our word out, getting our message out. So that's another way you can do that. And then the last one is through Christian videos and things like that. If you've got some Christian videos that actually go through the gospel in it, I'm not saying the whole thing's gospel, but maybe it's a creation one, but it's got the gospel at the end. You can pass that to a friend, say, would you have a listen to this? You know, they may enjoy listening to it, and it's got the gospel in it. So that's another way. These aren't necessarily the greatest tools, but they are tools. All right? So, and then you can probably think of some others that can be of help. So the biggest thing is, folks, we need to be involved. We need to witness for Christ. We all know that. And yet, many times we don't do it. So let's start praying and ask God this week, God, please give me an opportunity. And if you do, I will assure you, if you begin praying tonight, say, God, would you please lead me to someone that I can share the gospel with tomorrow? God will do it. He'll open a door for you, and then you need to be prepared. Have some tracks and give it a go. You say, well, I made a mess of it. Well, practice makes perfect. Keep going. Keep trying. Keep witnessing. Don't give up. We got a world out there that needs the gospel. You know people that need Christ. So do I. We need to keep witnessing to them. So let's be faithful.